I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hey, everybody. It's Sports Overnight America time. That's right. A different kind of show, a political sports type of show, economic sports type of show. You can give us a email by sending us to sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. We're heard everywhere. Sirius 217, XM 203, all the apps, Sports Byline, Sports Map, American Forces, gals and guys, you stay healthy. Radio stations like KSHP 1400 in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mark Mancini, the World War Sports Handicapper, will make an appearance. Art Source from Galaxy Sports and former kicker for the Rams and the Trojans will make an appearance. A couple of authors, Gary Myers, written a very interesting book, The Story of Victory, Tragedy, and Life After Football, Once a Giant. We're talking 1986 when the Giants win the Super Bowl. Most intriguing indeed. We'll be talking to our good friend Kerry Eggers up in Portland about the chances of maybe Portland getting a MLB club at some point and time. And so much is happening in sports. World Series is over. Corey Seager, MVP for the second time in 4 years. Of course, 2020 with the Dodgers and now 2023 with the Texas Rangers. And the Dodgers didn't want to spend the dough and the Rangers 10 years, $325 million. But being the World Series is over, the offseason is here upon us. What about Cody Bellinger? And everybody's talking about Ohtani, Ohtani, Ohtani. Well, Ohtani can't pitch next year, but he's still going to be, you know, he's going to get his $500 million or $600 million. What about Cody Bellinger, though? Bottom line is the Dodgers didn't want to pay him, but he was hitting horribly. Last year with the Cubbies, he hit more than 30 home runs and he missed a month. Listening to WFAN in New York, Mets might take him. The Yankees, who knows? Maybe we'll go back to the Cubs. Would the Dodgers take him back? You know, speaking of the Dodgers, you know, you're talking about a DH. Okay, so if you get Ohtani, that means he can only do one thing for you. And that's DH. That's a heavy load if you're the LA Dodgers or anybody else at this point in time. But we'll discuss that certainly right here on Sports Overnight America. Thursday night football, Tennessee loses to Pittsburgh, the Steelers. But I got to tell you something. Will Levis is going to be a top-notch quarterback in the National Football League. Of course, last week he threw 4 touchdowns. He didn't play as well on Thursday night, still unlucky to lose. But the point I'm trying to make is Ryan Tannehill is not getting his job back. I don't think there's any question about that. We got Sunday football in Germany. KC is a 2-point favorite over Miami. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more straight away on Sports Overnight America.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything.
Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
There's lots to love from Apple right now at Verizon. Get the new iPhone 15 Pro with titanium and more to love from Apple on us with select phone trade-in and select unlimited plans. There's no better place to get what you love from Apple than at Verizon. And there's no better time than right now. All that with the network you can really rely on. It's your Verizon. $999.99 device payment or full retail purchase with new smartphone line on select 5G unlimited plans required. Less up to $1,000 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Promo credit ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. 0% APR. Trade-in conditions apply. One offer per eligible Verizon line. Additional terms apply.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to RipGripPro.com. That's RipGripPro.com.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Hey, everybody. We are back on Sports Overnight America. I am Fred. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com, along with Mark Mancini, the world's worst sports handicapper. No question about that. Art source from Galaxy Sports in Pennsylvania. And you, again, sportsfred@aol.com. All right, the World Series is over. Corey Seager, the second time in four World Series, has won the MVP. Mark, you have any comments about the Dodgers letting him go a couple of years ago?
Sometimes in life, in order to move up, you have to move on. Corey Seager did just that, and he's, you know, this is what happens. These kind of guys set a franchise back. I saw it with Drew Brees leaving the Chargers. I've seen it with Harbaugh leaving the 49ers. Sometimes when these guys move on, whether it's coaches or players, the franchise goes in the wagon train for a while. And Corey Seager knew what was at stake. He followed Chris Woodward over there in Texas. And look, they bring in Bochy. The legend takes 3 years off. It's just a different atmosphere for the Texas Rangers. 11-0 on the road. That record will never be broken. You know, people tell me records are made to be broken. Certain records aren't being broken. The 76 Indiana Hoosiers, the 72 Dolphins, UCLA, the list goes on.
Art Source, your comments about Corey Seager, the Dodgers, the Rangers, and the whole spiel.
The October legend, Mr. October in the modern day. 21 homers in 78 postseason games. Reggie had 18 in 77 games. You know, if I'm Andrew Friedman, I'm kind of wondering, gee whiz, maybe I shouldn't have wanted to stick him at third base. Should have left him at shortstop because he sure looked good. Even defensively, he played great. But let's be honest, Fred, this all came down to what I consider the best manager in modern day baseball, Bruce Bochy. He gets these guys to play great baseball. I mean, can you imagine how good this team would be if Jacob DeGrom and Scherzer were healthy? I mean, come on. It's going to be something to see if they can come back healthy. But, I mean, they're doing something they hadn't been able to do in 63 years. Going back to the Washington Senators, you know, and we found out about, you know, Frank Howard passing away. And I want to, you know, send my condolences to his family. I love the old Big Hondo. But, yeah, I got to tell you, I was real impressed. I thought the Diamondbacks were maybe a year or two away from being a great team. They need a power hitter in the middle of the lineup. If I was them, I'd go get Cody Bellinger right now and stick him in center field. That's my thoughts on it.
I think the Diamondbacks have the best defensive club in baseball. And you start off with Marte and Carroll. You got a really good start. 1-2 or 2-1 in that lineup.
I think they only got thrown out once in five games, right, Fred?
And Carroll.
That was a bang-bang play.
And Carroll's going to be Rookie of the Year. He can do everything. He's a great outfielder. In fact, I think the best defensive team in baseball. But the ratings were the lowest in history, Art.
23% down from last year. From since 69 when they started really following them. I got the numbers right here from the Sports Business Journal. I mean, it was really bad. Game two, I had an 8.1 million people watching it, which was the lowest of all time. And baseball is missing the boat, Fred. I remember, as a kid being 12, 13 years old in eighth grade, and in the afternoon when the games would come on, they'd bring the audiovisual crew down, they'd set up the TV, and everybody in the room would get to watch a little bit of the World Series. And it brought the kids together. We all enjoyed it. Go ahead, Marky.
Well, and the secret covering Bochy for 3 years in San Diego, he kind of reminds me of Chuck Tanner. I think what he did with the players in Texas, he a lot of managers need to take heed on this one as far as how to build a ball club. And I think what he does is he tries to find out where everybody's coming from, ask how the family is. And that goes a long way when you're dealing with 25 guys. You get in the trenches. And a lot of people don't understand it. They think it's all about the X's and O's. Relationships are priceless. Money comes and goes, guys. So I think that's the difference that separates Bochy from the rest of these guys. And by the way, Fred, I think I lost some jewelry and money in the Rose Bowl. Can you help me out on that?
Yeah, he's talking about Colorado last week. They lose to UCLA by 12, and they get back in the locker room.
They picked a good team to rob, though. They got enough bling on that college football team.
Okay, but let's go back to the ratings. This is sort of a key in my mind.
It is.
I think it's the format. The Braves, the Dodgers out in the first round, the Orioles out in the first round. Those were probably the three best teams in baseball. That five-day wait, that five-day becoming stale, I think cost those teams. And I think that's one of the major reasons for the ratings. And congratulations to Texas and congratulations to Arizona for getting that far. I don't think you can live with a 5-day wait between. As I've indicated before, I
wholeheartedly agree with you, Fred. It even goes back to the old NFL playoff system where the two teams with the best record got that bye week. At least 25 or one of the teams or two of the teams every year would get bounced in that first round divisional playoff because they sat around for basically 12 days, 14 days. And, football players and baseball players are used to being out there doing their thing every day, focused in a routine. We got this meeting, that meeting. You're constantly on the move. And I think once you break up that routine and you don't see live pitching in baseball, it makes a huge difference. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, Fred and Artie, I think, Artie, you brought up an interesting point with, not signing Corey Seager. I think there's three ex-Dodgers on the Texas Rangers, and Eovaldi, was one guy that they threw out of there along with Scherzer, and I know Scherzer's got a dead arm now, but, then you stand there and you sign a 213 hitter in Max Muncy. I mean, you got to understand, there's got to be something wrong why you aren't letting good guys go and other guys you keep re-signing them and hoping for different results.
Okay. Look at Seager and Bellinger this year, okay?
Yeah.
There's a perfect example. That was really the foundation of that championship team in that 55-game season. Really was. I mean, you had an MVP from 2009. You had Seager coming into his own. He is into his own. He is the best shortstop in baseball. And, when you let guys like that go, and as a Pirate fan, you let Garrett Cole go. You can't let those kind of players go. You got to just hold on for dear life, even if you have to, find a loan or whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
All right. Look, bottom line, though, in the Dodgers' case, it's just pure money. They didn't want to spend the money. Listen, Seager's making $325 over 10 years. Dodger did offer him $250 million over 10 years, but they didn't want to sign him. They thought Lux would be coming up and could play the shortstop position. And I think Lux can be a fine player. I'm not sure he can be a shortstop, but he can certainly be a hitter when he comes back next year after the injury. And of course, the next year they pick up Trey Turner for the one season. But the bottom line is we have free agency right now. And as Art indicated before, Arizona should jump on Bellinger. Truth is, there are a whole slew of teams who should jump on Bellinger. And as far as Ohtani is concerned, I listen to WFN in New York. They're talking the Mets. Certainly Steve Cohen's got more money than God. Mark, you think there's a chance he ends up with the Mets?
Listen, you know, one of the best imports coming out of that country would have to be Ichiro Suzuki, who is one of the best, if not the best. But if somebody thinks Ohtani's going to turn their franchise around, he was with the Angels for how many years and they couldn't get past the Mendoza line. So I don't know what he's going to do in another city. He can't pitch next year.
Can you name any other pitchers on that pitching staff that were worth anything?
Well, all he can do next year is hit. He's not going to be able to pitch. And
no, but you're not hearing my point. You're saying he didn't do anything with the Angels. Okay, well, when he got there, Trout was like actually starting to get hurt every year. Okay, all he did for the Angels was help them draw 2.7 million fans, which the Angels don't normally
well,
do.
Shohei Ohtani is
a generational talent. Tell you something. You will see his ass on the mound again someday.
I agree with you there, but when you determine the MVP to me, if the team he's with for 5-6 years can't get past the Mendoza line, then what's he going to do on another team when they're stacked with all that talent? He's just going to be an everyday bat in that lineup, isn't he?
Well, I'll tell you what, when he hits 45 home runs for the Mets and leads them to the National League East title, we'll talk about it, okay? Because I actually think the guy is pretty incredible.
The Padres got four guys in San Diego, and they couldn't even get to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you're talking about the Padres.
All right, folks, this is Sports Woman at America. Later, we'll be talking to Gary Myers, author of Once a Giant, a story of victory, tragedy, and life after football. An interesting book indeed. And we'll be talking to Kerry Eggers from up in Portland to talk about everything happening in the great Northwest. All straight away on Sports Overnight America.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845. Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard.
Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. That's 800-211-6008.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. We've had Kerry Eggers on many times on this show. Kerry Eggers, fine sports writer from the Portland, Oregon area, the Oregonian for many years, the Portland Tribune for many years. And for the last few years, he's had his own website where you can read stories every day. And Kerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Fred. Always good to be on with you. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, it's interesting. In your latest article, you wrote about the collection connection. I'm into sports. I used to have a lot of sports cards. I don't have as many now, of course. Everybody's heard the stories. But this is interesting. You send it into the collection connection, and they put it, make it beautiful for you. Talk about that and how many people care about something like that.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, they do have some items, souvenirs, mostly pictures, but also lots of other stuff that for purchase. Or if you would like to have them frame your own memorabilia, they do that too. I've not seen a business that's got so much of that stuff as Collection Connection. If next time you're in Portland, you have to go by and look at it. They've really got some neat stuff. And the owner, he died last year, unfortunately, in a motorcycle accident, but his wife and daughters are continuing the business. So he has an unbelievable collection of kind of minutiae, actually. It's really fun to look through. He has a little vault there in the back of the warehouse, and I've gone through it. It's really some cool stuff.
Looking behind you right now, I don't know if those were done by the Collection Connection, but they look pretty fine to me.
These are not, but they have done some for me, yes.
All right, we're talking to Kerry Eggers from up in Oregon. First question has to be, how upset are the fans of Oregon State after UCLA and USC jump to the Big 18 or whatever it is now and destroyed the Pac-12?
I just had coffee with Steve Priest, who was All-America quarterback for the Giant Killers in the 60s, and it's almost unbelievable, the despair. There's almost no way out of this thing, Fred. I mean, I talked to him. So what do you think the best scenario is? Well, let's say they run the table, go 10-2, win the Pac-12, and force the Big 12 to add them in Washington State. Can that happen? Possibly. There's a big lawsuit on November 20, or an injunction, a court date on November 14th that would prohibit the other 10 schools from getting the money. That's what they're hoping, the initial thing that happens. And then I think there's going to be a lawsuit against Fox and ESPN for barring them. So they're going to go through the legal ramifications. In the meantime, Fred, Jonathan Smith's got to recruit kids, and they don't know what league they're going to be in next year. They don't even know if they'll be a Power 5 school. It's just an untenable situation.
Mark, you're on with Kerry Eggers up in Portland, Oregon.
Well, the injunction starts on my birthday.
There you go.
November 14th.
Yeah.
By the way, I personally want to thank you because my basketball team just received your fan favorite there, Damian Lillard. Thank you very much in Milwaukee. And I'll send you a Christmas card. But when you look at the college football, I've been seeing this for a while and I've been very consistent with it. I can't watch it because if a team loses one or two games, they're knocked out of it. USC's pretty much knocked out of it. When this thing opens up to 12 teams, we're going to have some great games. I was looking at the schedule. Penn State comes out here next year, it looks like, and this is what it needs. And, you know, I don't want to knock the whole Pac-12 as far as, you know, all these teams involved, but it's hard to stay up and watch these games at 11 o'clock at night. And that seems to be the problem here. And now I've always said, and Fred knows, and Nardi, if you're going to be a top 10 team in college football, then you need to have a top 10 schedule so everybody can get involved and watch this thing. I don't need the bottom feeders picking up the load and getting fat on you.
Well,
I might have said a mouthful there.
Yeah, you covered a lot of topics there. the TV schedule is going to always, it's when Oregon and Washington go to the Big Ten, they're going to have night games. That's just going to, that's part of it now. The TV networks are controlling college sports, and it's ridiculous. Okay. As far as the Pac-12, the ironic thing to me is this is the best overall top to bottom league I think they've ever had. And they are arguably, well, I think they're the second best league in college football behind the SEC. So to have them break up this year is just ludicrous to me. And frankly, one of the things I talked to Steve Priest about today is look, the market size is the reason that Fox and ESPN don't want Washington State and Oregon State to be in a major conference. Okay, so what about Manhattan, Kansas? What about Stillwater, Oklahoma? There's you know, East Lafayette, Purdue. There's tons of schools that are already in these conferences that are in small markets just like they are. And so it, back to Fred's comment or question, it's hard to believe that Oregon State people can hardly believe what's happening.
Art Source, you played for the Trojans. You're on with Kerry Eggers up in Oregon. Your comments.
Well, one of my favorite players of all time when I was in high school was Big Alvin White, who played for the Oregon State Beavers. Yeah. Real good quarterback, the Big A. And he's having a great time watching Ugalele do his thing up there. And I got to tell you, Washington State with Cameron Ward has had a great season. I feel bad for those two schools. You know, I mean, bottom line is they're playing their best ever. I mean, the saddest part of it all is we waited for two decades for the Pac-12 to have a year like they're having this year, and it happens to be the year when they're breaking up. I mean, you look at the teams all the way down to Arizona. I can go eight, almost nine deep quality football teams, not national championship teams, but three or four of them that given the right situation, including Washington and Michael Penix, which we'll find out this weekend, you know, they're right there in the hunt. And, you know, you got an Oregon ball club that, but for two stupid calls by the coach, they'd be undefeated right now. And it'd be a reverse situation with Washington. So I'm with you on this one. You know, I just, and Fred, we've talked about it. How stupid is it to have to travel from let's say Seattle to Rutgers to play golf in the fall?
Well,
how are they going to do this? I mean, are these kids going to be in school?
Well,
I mean, that's the real reason you're in college, I still think. Right, guys? Or am I a Pollyanna on that one?
Right. But if you're talking about money, and Fred, you've seen it in your backyard with UCLA, where they pretty much dress up as empty chairs when Washington State comes into the Rose Bowl. Now you get a Penn State, Ohio State coming in there. You're going to have 100,000 in that place. Well,
what do you think is going to happen game three next year when SC goes to Michigan?
Yeah.
You think there's going to be anybody at that game?
We're talking to Kerry Eggers up in Portland. Kerry, I got to ask you this in our last couple of moments on Sports Overnight America. Damian Lillard, he had everything going from the outside, at least looking. He had everything going in Portland. He owned businesses. The fans loved him. What was the bottom line reason that he pushed to get out?
I don't know, but I can guess. I can give you an educated guess.
Winning, maybe?
I don't think that he wanted to leave Portland. I think he was very happy in Portland. They've been competitive most years, not the last two because they tanked both years. But, you know, they've never been into the NBA Finals, but they had good teams. But I think he got so much outside noise, and I'm talking about from media types like Stephen Smith and so on, that he finally decided that, hey, maybe they're right. Maybe I should go. And the other thing that was involved was he made it clear on draft night that if they didn't bring in some more veterans, if they were trying to build from the youth, that it wasn't right for him. And that's exactly what Joe Cronin did. He kept the pick, the number three pick. He got Scoot Henderson, who was his point guard of the future. And Damian saw the handwriting on the wall. Those two things picked him over, I think.
I haven't watched one NBA game so far. How do you think the Blazers will do in 23-24?
If they don't tank, they'll probably win about 35 games. They're 2-3 right now. They have a chance to go 4-3 because they're playing Memphis these next two games at home. And Memphis is terrible, as you know, from the losses they've had. So they're not going to be a playoff contender for at least a couple of years. Henderson has really had a poor start. Now it's only five games. He's not going to play tonight. He's got an injured ankle, but shooting 34% from the field, four turnovers a game, 2 for 21 on three. So he's just looked nervous. He's going to be a good player. I don't know that he's going to be a great player, but that'll be determined as he moves along his career.
Kerry, we got to go. But how can folks listening and watching us right now get your articles, three, four times a week? And how can they join you?
KerryEggers.com. Go on the website, put your email in. You'll be emailed all the stories that I do. It's free. I have sponsors. I'd love to have any of the people in California that, or anywhere your listening audience, if they'd want to read some stories about a lot of different sports things. I think that's my place is the place.
Love it.
Spell your last name, wow. Kerry.
It's Kerry, KerryEggers.com. KerryEggers.com.
Kerry, thank you so much for appearing again on Sports Overnight America. Good luck with your Blazers. Next time we'll talk about MLB in Portland, Oregon. Kerry, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can I steal a screaming Stephen A. Smith? That's a classic.
Back with more on Sports Overnight America.
Want even more excitement on game day? It's time to get on Prize Picks, the best way to win big on fantasy sports. Here's how it works. Just pick 2 to 6 players and choose more or less on their stats. If you get them right, you can win up to 25 times your cash. It's quick and easy to make your picks, and with fast and safe deposits and withdrawals, Prize Picks is the place to play this season. Prize Picks has awesome weekly promotions, and they're the only daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, keeping you in the game even if one of your players goes down. Sweat it out, watch your entry update in real time, and continue the fun by making picks on second half and fourth quarter stats. Take your game day experience to the next level with Prize Picks. And right now, when you go to prizepicks.com/byline and use code byline, Prize Picks is matching your first deposit up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/byline with code byline for a 100% deposit match. Prize Picks. Daily fantasy sports made easy.
Yo, J Balvin here. Verizon just hooked me up with a new iPhone 15 Pro with titanium. How can you get one? By switching to my plan at your Verizon store, get the amazing new iPhone 15 Pro on them. When you trade in any iPhone, any model, any condition, guaranteed. And listen to my new song, Dientes, on your way to get the new iPhone 15 Pro.
Don't miss out. Switch to my plan from Verizon today. It's your Verizon. $999.99, 128GB only. Device payment purchase or full retail purchase with new smartphone line on unlimited ultimate plan required. Less $1,000 trade-in or promo credit applied over 36 months. Promo credit ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. 0% APR.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This report is sponsored by After School Alliance. 1 million people are rallying for after school as part of the 24th annual Lights On After School, organized by the After School Alliance. The event shines a light on the many ways after school programs engage children and youth by making learning fun and providing educational and enriching activities. After school programs are especially important as students recover from the pandemic, but funding shortfalls have left nearly 25 million kids without the after school programs their parents want for them. Quality after school programs keep kids safe, inspire them to learn, and give parents peace of mind. Alliance Executive Director, Jody Grant.
Every day, after-school programs across our country help students discover their talents, build their confidence, and foster their creativity through enrichment and academic supports. As we continue to recover from the pandemic, it's essential that many more students and families have access to these programs. This year, 8,000 Lights On after-school events will focus on the benefits after-school programs provide.
Visit www.afterschoolalliance.org to learn more about Lights On After School.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Overnight America. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. So I read a very interesting book this week by Gary Myers, longtime sports writer in New York and elsewhere and on television and everything. The book, A Story of Victory, Tragedy, and Life After Football, Once a Giant. You can get the book Amazon.com, major bookstores everywhere. We're talking about the 1986 New York Giants who won the Super Bowl. And Gary, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on. How you guys doing?
You know, it's interesting because 1985, obviously, the Chicago did everything right, and they win the Super Bowl. They had everybody back in 86. Everybody presumed that the Bears would win it all. The Giants found a way. Talk about how they did it. Take it away.
Well, the Bears had everybody back in 86 except for Buddy Ryan.
And yeah.
That was a big piece right there. But, you know, the Giants had lost in the divisional round of the playoffs in 84 and 85 to the team that eventually went on to win the Super Bowl, being the 49ers and then the Bears. So they went into the 86 season, you know, really convinced this was going to be that was going to be their year. But just to be clear here, guys, my book is not, you know, digging deep into what happened in 1986, because that was done in the year after the Super Bowl. My book is more about life after football and life after football is such an important topic or an issue for, you know, players from that generation of the 1980s, where there was no such thing as a concussion protocol and health insurance wasn't as good right after they finished playing. And a lot of players didn't qualify for the pension because it was much stricter than it is today. And so I've really been intrigued by the story of life after football and how guys are dealing with the mental health issues and the financial problems and the physical issues. And, so I was trying to decide how to approach it, and decided I really wanted to write about one team rather than cherry picking players from around the league. I decided that I wanted to concentrate on one team, and I was already really familiar with a lot of the 86 Giants, having been around them, you know, during that period of time and then in the years since, and having a little bit of knowledge on some of the issues that these guys had faced in their lives and are still facing today. So I went about telling the story, and I didn't want to make it 300 pages of depressing stories. So I balanced it off by writing about how they really became a brotherhood and how this bond is still strong 37 years later, and how they help each other out as they've grown old together. And, I put together what I think is a really informative, educational, entertaining book about how football teams really develop a bond, probably unlike any other sport, but then face, you know, players from the 80s and that generation, how they faced and have so many challenges in their life today as they're in their late 50s to late 60s. So again, it's about the 86 Giants, the most beloved of the Giants' four Super Bowl championship teams. But it really could have been about any team from that era, because although the problems that these players are facing, you know, are unique to them individually, generally speaking, all players from that period of time are experiencing some sort of issues as a result of their football careers.
Gary, we're talking to Gary Myers, Once a Giant, interesting book, and you just heard Gary discussing it. But the thing that hit me was the lack of any racial problems on that team. And the guys are still together today. And right. We've all been in locker rooms. We've all been to practices. And we've seen things that the public would not have seen. And you were there that year. And anyways, this was a weird thing, and that the white-black thing really did not exist on this club.
You know, at Bill Parcells' Hall of Fame induction speech in 2013, he talked about how a locker room is like a great chemistry experiment where you have players from all over the country, from all kinds of different backgrounds, racial backgrounds, financial backgrounds, educational, families are different, and how you really need them over a 7-month period to come together as one. And the Giants had very strong leadership on that team, both black players and white players. And I wrote about how there was a couple of incidents during the course of the season that came to the attention of the leadership of the team, and they got it taken care of. But, you know, for the most part, this team was colorblind, that everybody was treated the same, and the expectations were the same, that, you know, if you're going to be on that team, you're going to produce and help them win. And any form of racism just wasn't permitted. I can't speak to how it was in that period of time on other teams. I mean, I was around the Cowboys a lot because I covered the Cowboys. And I can tell you that at least in Dallas in the mid-80s, there was a lot of racial problems on that team. But with the Giants, there wasn't. And I attribute that a lot to the leadership of Harry Carson and George Martin and Phil Simms and Jim Burt, you know, players like that who made sure that if there were any issues, it got taken care of quickly. And if the issues couldn't be resolved, you know, Parcells would know about it and that player would no longer be on the team. So, this again, what's really made this team unique is not only how they bonded winning a championship together, because, you know, let's face it, when you win something like a Super Bowl together, it's gonna form a brotherhood. But what makes the Giant team different is that 37 years later, that bond is as strong today as it was back then. And any one of these guys have any sort of a problem, the first phone call usually goes to Harry Carson, who then rounds up the troops, and they take care of each other, whether it's getting them to doctor's appointments or starting a GoFundMe page, or as like I write about in the introduction of the book, Parcells, unbeknownst to many players on the team, has been a resource for about 20 guys when they get into financial problems. And he's written checks for a total of about $4 million over in recent years to help out guys who have problems.
Wow.
The book is Once a Giant, Gary Myers. Art, you played for the Rams. Was there racism on your clubs in the early 80s?
Not at all. Not at all. It was a brotherhood. You had leaders, much like Gary was talking about. You know, Jack Youngblood, I think about the offensive line and Jackie Slater. You know, there was so much respect for each other, and the fact that they've gone through so much to reach that epitome, especially with the 1980 team that played the Steelers in the Super Bowl. But one of the questions I wanted to answer or wanted to talk to Gary about was how the ownership in the NFL, the old owners, the Wellington Maras, the Tishes, the people who owned the ball club, and George Young, and how important he was to picking the guys that fit Bill Parcells' system. If there was some of that, I mean, obviously, when you've got LT, he's going to basically march to his own drummer. But, I mean, you think about the leadership of Harry Carson, Jim Burt. You talk about, you know, some of the great players, Phil Simms. And, oh, by the way, what an incredible Super Bowl he had in the Rose Bowl against the Denver Broncos. I mean, I think he was 22 out of 25 for 250 yards. I mean, that was an incredible game. I remember it vividly. But I wanted you to touch bases on – the difference between the older owners and maybe vis-a-vis the young ownership that's in the NFL now.
Well, you have to remember, and Art, you certainly know this, that was a different period of time. It was prior to free agency. So
right.
Teams would stay together for a much longer period of time. And so that Giant team grew up together through disappointments, like I mentioned earlier, in the 84 and 85 playoffs. And then coming together and getting the final pieces in place for that Super Bowl run in 86. You know, I don't know that the owners trusted George Young, and that was prior, you know, Tish didn't come on until 91. So the Maras owned the team between Wellington and his nephew, Tim. They each owned 50% of the team. But when they hired George Young in 1979, neither Mara had anything to do with the personnel decisions that were made. Wellington had been very involved in that. And that was part of the problem, is that he never had a really strong leader at the top of the football, you know, the football operations department.
Yeah. Talking about the Allie Sherman years and things of that nature.
And Andy Robustelli. And the Giants went from 1964, through the 1980 season without making the playoffs, which is quite an accomplishment.
Sounds like the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Want to have, So, you know, when they finally turned it over to George Young in 1979, they gave him complete autonomy. You know, he had been the right-hand man to Don Shula, both in Baltimore and in Miami. And that was the turning point. And he hired Ray Perkins over Dan Reeves to be the head coach because Reeves had only known success as an assistant and a player in Dallas. And George wanted somebody who had been through the turbulent times and knew how to face adversity, or had experience facing adversity, rather. And so he hired Ray Perkins. Perkins eventually brought Parcells onto his staff. Perkins left after the 82 season to go to Alabama, his alma mater, and Parcells got promoted to head coach. Now, although Parcells and George Young personally didn't have much of a relationship, and a lot of that had to do with the Giants going 3-12-1 in Parcells' first season, and George Young looking to potentially replace him with Howard Schnellenberger. So that caused a lot of friction, as you can imagine, between those two men. But football-wise, they were always on the same page, that Young knew what kind of players Parcells wanted, which pretty much fit the description of what Young wanted himself. So they were able to build that roster together without having any really major disagreements on draft day. They both liked big linemen, believing you build a team from the inside out. And so the Giants always had a good offensive line during those two Super Bowl years, and they always had strong defensive linemen. And then the linebacking group, when it was Harry and Carl Banks and Lawrence and Gary Reasons in 86, and then Harry retired after the 88 season, and Pepper Johnson took over. I mean, that was, you know, some that, the 86 team might have been the best group of linebackers in any team in NFL history. But they built that team together, and
we got a Steeler fan over here, so you got to let him go every once in a while.
Mark Mancini, you got about 2 minutes with Gary Myers.
Well, I'll tell you one thing: a connected team is a very, very, very dangerous team. And the Giants in the heyday were dangerous, but I want to throw some other names out there too. The Redskins in the 82s were dangerous. The Oakland A's of the 72, 73, they were well connected. When you look at these teams that are well connected and racism doesn't really fall into the locker room, I mean, the sky's the limit, Gary. I mean, just, you know, dealing with one of the guys at Billy North that played for the Oakland A's, that was a team that stood up to, you know, Charles Finley there when Vida Blue was shipped out and Raleigh Fingers and Joe Rudy were on the table going to Boston. So I think a connected team, it starts with leadership, and people say it starts at the top. I think it starts in the locker room with the guys you put together.
Yeah.
Gary?
You know, for the most part, that, you know, I don't know. Listen, I'm not trying to be naive here, but I think for the most part, that there really aren't a lot of racial issues in locker rooms per se now.
Gary Myers has been with us. Gary Myers, A Story of Victory, Tragedy, and Life After Football, Once a Giant, Amazon.com, major bookstores everywhere. Gary, thank you so much for appearing. I enjoyed your book. And I'm sure anybody out there, folks, if you're into football and the story after the season may be over, pick up this book, Once a Giant. Gary, thank you for appearing on Sports Overnight America.
Hey, thank you.
Good job. Gary
Myers, hope you feel better.
And a whole lot more straight away on Sports Overnight.
I'm- One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Hey, everybody, back on Sports Overnight America. I'd like to thank Kerry Eggers. That's E-G-G-R-S, kerryeggers.com, kerryeggers.com, for making an appearance. Some interesting articles three, four, five times a week from up in Portland. Of course, Gary Myers, the story of victory, tragedy, and life after football. Once a Giant, not just the story of the 1986 Giants winning the Super Bowl, but since then. So pick that one up, too. And Bobby Knight. Mark Mancini, first thought, we lost Bobby Knight at 83 this week. Your comments.
I had a chance to meet him when I was in the hotel business. And, you know, a lot of people say they can't play for a guy like that. You know, I came from a military background. My dad was a sergeant in the Marines. I think a guy like that demands excellence, minus, you know, everything else that, you know, came with it, grabbing and all that stuff, kind of like the Woody Hayes approach. But I think he can learn a lot by that. And when you buy into a guy's system like that, eventually he'll take his foot off the pedal with you, but I think he really makes a man out of you. What he did at Indiana, you'll never see that. He went to Texas Tech. Look at what he done down there. Bobby Knight is going to be missed. Yeah, in this generation, it'd be hard to coach, but I like Bobby Knight.
I couldn't play for him. Art, how about you?
I could have played for him because I knew how demanding he was. He reminded me a little bit of my father growing up. They had this perfection deal where if you're going to do it, you do it right or you don't do it at all. I think, you know, as time went on, we've talked about positive reinforcement versus vis-a-vis grabbing guys. It was a different era, you guys. You know, I'm watching a Netflix series right now about John Bazelon and the Pacific and these guys fighting hand-to-hand with the Japanese. And I mean, it's pretty graphic, but it was a different time. And, you know, I look at our country right now, you guys, and I see guys like, you know, Robert Montgomery Knight, and I look at people that are out there, and you look at what Coach K said about him, who played for him at the academy. You know, I think those are American heroes. You know, and their time did go by, and things are different. But I'll tell you what really hurts me right now in our country is our own kids, without even understanding the facts, are standing up for Hamas in our universities when people are being killed. And I don't understand that. And, you know, we always talk about leadership starts at the top. Well, I think we've got to get back to the basics. We have to get back to where everybody understands that a human being has dignity, no matter what color they are, what race they're from, where they came from, they deserve human dignity. And damn it, you know, I just want people to get back to the basics of loving the fellow man. I mean, it isn't that difficult. You follow the Ten Commandments, the Quran, whatever you want. But be real. Be real and don't jump to one side or the other. Try to look at things from a bigger perspective is what I'm trying to say.
All right. For Mark, for Art, for Mario, I'm Fred. Back later. More of Sports Overnight America.